It's time to catch up on the campaign trail right now. Stephen Wagasback is running for governor. We miss him greatly around here with our normal Monday visits, but we're happy to have him on this morning. Stephen, how are you, sir?
Man, how's it going, stranger? You know, look, when I used to call in weekly, you know, the lead-in music would be something powerful, strong about, like, free enterprise or America or something like that. And, you know, you take a month or so off, and next thing you know, you get the BG saying more than a woman when you come on. I mean, what's going on here?
You know what? I had it in the back of my mind. As soon as I heard the Bee Gees, I was like, there's no way Steven's going to let this slide. There's no way he starts anywhere but there. Oh, my word.
It's a good song.
It is a good song. It's all Alondra. And you know what, Steven? You're more than a woman to me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I want to be anything you want me to be, Brian.
Hey, you're already in campaign mode. How about that?
That's it.
Oh, man. How's it going, man? How's life in the campaign world?
You know, it's been fun. It's exciting. We're getting tremendous feedback. I mean, going around the state and, you know, obviously delivering our message and folks are responding well to it, but also, man, just listening and learning a lot. I mean, really hearing from folks and what's on their mind. And, you know, there's definitely some commonalities. I mean, I think there's a lot of folks who, you know, love Louisiana for everything it is, but are also frustrated, you know, that we're experiencing challenges in our crime situation, our school situation, and that, you know, people are sick and tired of losing families to other states and seeing other states soar when we kind of, like, you know, tread water. And so there's a lot of state pride, but there's also a lot of frustration. And I think there's a thirst for a new approach and a new change. And you know, it's responding well to what our message is. And so we're fired up.
What does a new approach look like?
Hello?
Yeah, Stephen.
Hey, sorry, I lost you for a second.
No worries. What does a new approach look like? What would be different?
I think it's one that's a little more individual focused, if you will. Like, you know, when it comes to school issues, you know, if you think about it, coming out of Katrina and Rita over the last 15, 20 years, so much of our approach on education reform was just, you know, talking about the system and accountability and all these rigid measures. Now, when you talk to people about their frustrations with education, they want parents empowered. They want to be able to, you know, make sure that the individual is getting what they need for success here in Louisiana, whether that's career-focused, college-focused, whether it's mental health, drug treatment, et cetera. And we have to be more individual and family-focused in everything we do. And that's what I will do. When I come in, I'm going to try to upgrade our education system to make sure that no matter where you are in life, if you are destined to a four-year degree, if you're destined to go straight to the workforce, all of it is acceptable. All of it is a valid pathway I want to create here. I want to bring business and industry into the high schools. That's one of the biggest changes I want to do as soon as we get in, is have a more student-focused approach to preparing kids to stay here, because I'm tired of losing kids to Texas. And quite frankly, I'm tired of kids leaving high school unprepared for any job, and they drift into a life of crime. Mm-hmm. Right now, if you talk to any sheriff around this state, they will tell you that their biggest challenge is poverty, and the underemployed are the ones that are causing all the issues. And so I think if we can find people the relevant skill to their expertise and give them a job here, not only can it provide some stability for our community, I think also we can go recruit companies around the country, because every company around the country, they're just looking for a solid workforce. And so I think education and workforce is the key to creating jobs, to stabilizing public safety, and to stopping the brain drain in other states. So that's going to be my absolute top focus when I get in.
And this is one area where, and by the way, Stephen Wagasback, gubernatorial candidate, is our guest right now. And this is one area where we're actually seeing some movement within this legislative session.
Yeah.
And this is one where it's been, and this is something lobby touted for years. You were at the helm of that. And now we're seeing where, from a charter school standpoint, we're doing all right. Educational savings accounts are, you know, the money
moving through the House, going to the Senate.
Right.
Whether it gets through the process is a big question mark. But I can tell you this: states around us are embracing educational savings account. Louisiana must do the same. If it doesn't happen next year, I can promise you it's going to happen. I mean, this year, I can promise you it's going to happen next year. When I get in there, because we have to put parents back in charge of their kids' lives. And okay, that is a clear thing we're hearing around the state, and it's a clear priority for me.
Well, but the bigger question here is, you want the ESAs, yes, but you also want to make the ESA moot.
In an ideal world, yes. In an ideal world, it's kind of the threat the parent gives to the kid. I'm going to take away that phone if you don't do your chores. But at the end of the day, you don't want to take away the phone. You hope it inspires a different behavior. So, yes, ESAs, all an ESA does is it gives parents choice. And the thought is, if you give parents robust choice, and not just well-to-do parents, but, you know, middle class and lower income parents, if you give them that choice, the hope is the market responds, schools up their game, and no one leaves because they're getting a quality product. Absolutely, that is the goal. But you can't enforce that. You can't mandate that. You can't just say, oh, let's get a formula to make that happen, because we've tried that over the years. Mm-hmm. We have to empower parents, give them the buying power of being able to go to another vendor if that vendor doesn't work. Because right now, if you're a poor family in Louisiana, you're pretty much stuck in the school that the government tells you to go to. And whether you're getting a good service or bad service, what are you going to do? And that's not fair. And so I think ESAs are giving parents choice. It's forcing schools to become more parent-focused and student-focused in their approach. And I think you're going to see better quality product if we put that choice throughout.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's baffled me about the ESA topic is the people that would benefit from it the most are the people who are the most against it.
Well, it's because it's new. It's a different approach. Sure. And you got to remember, Brian, a lot of the people we're talking about that benefit the most, they don't have some of the mobility that you and I have. You know, they're currently maybe living in an area that they don't feel safe in, but they feel like they have no choice. They're currently going to a school where they don't quite love. They feel like they have no choice. Or maybe they're in a job that they don't really like, or they feel like they don't have the skills to elevate and have a choice. And so a lot of these families aren't familiar with mobility and choice. And so literally, we have to also, at the same time, roll this out. We have to do a better job early in education and focus on things like mentorship, counseling. You have a lot of kids who show up in kindergarten. Yeah, they may be behind on reading, but also they're behind on just understanding what the goal of education is, what a valid pathway is for them, what the value of hard work is, and how it can turn into a great job here in this community. We can't just assume, quite frankly, that parents are giving that expertise in households all across the region, because unfortunately, in too many households, kids are showing up and they've never seen success in their house or their neighborhood, and we have to show them what it can be and how attainable it is to them. And so it's not just putting laws on the books and new standards in place. It's literally getting down to the kid level and showing them the great potential that they have and the great potential in the community around them.
We're talking with Stephen Wagstaff, who is running for governor. Stephen, how we got a couple weeks to go in the legislative session. I know coming from Law B, you got to be jonesing a little bit not to be dialed in as closely as you have been in the past. But how dialed in on this session are you right now?
Man, it's the opposite. It's been nice not having to go down there and be in the middle of a firing squad for the first time in like 15 years. No. You know, I get up, I read my paper, I listen to a 107.3 and kind of get my update and go about my campaign today. No, in all seriousness, there are some important topics being discussed right there. And, you know, it's a weird dynamic where there is surplus money there. There's a lot of extra money there. People are talking about how to spend it all. But the truth is, I think we all know that surplus is not a product of a growing, strong economy. That surplus is the product of taxes that were raised over the last several years and federal spending that is ballooned coming out of the COVID crisis. And so we know a couple of years from now, a lot of that surplus is not going to be there. And so my biggest hope is that this legislature is prudent and responsible in how they spend it. And if they're going to spend any dollar, put it in, you know, recurring dollars for recurring expenses, make sure one-time expenses go to one-time dollars go to one-time expenses, but try to be as prudent as they can, because we know a couple of years from now, this funny money is going to be gone. The economy is going to be dealing with some of this inflationary, recessionary topics. And we know that 0.45 sales tax comes up for consideration. So we don't want to find ourselves in a trap there. So I'm just hoping they'd be as prudent as possible. And, you know, you're seeing a lot of that debate happen. I think the legislature is being very responsible right now in how they're tackling this issue. The one spending piece I'm surprised is not getting more traction, which I think probably should, is law enforcement. We haven't heard much about that. And as I've gone around the state, I mean, you realize we're a couple hundred troopers down where we should be at the state police level. It's been a couple of years since we've had a training class. And I think there should be dollars that are putting into fast forwarding a new training academy, getting more troopers on the streets. I can tell you when I've been with the administration, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to try to build up the ranks of our state police troops, and I'm going to try to create a unit that goes around the state to hotspots. And we're no longer going to sit by and watch crime-ridden areas spiral out of control. We're going to send those white cars and those blue uniforms into those areas, and we're going to help support and supplement and partner with local law enforcement. But you can't do that without more cops.
Yeah.
And so I would like them to see use some of the dollars they're talking about right now into new training academies at the state police level. I think we're under the numbers we need to be, and I want to fix that when I get in there.
Well, you talk about mentorship in the schools. a police path might not be the worst idea among all those different ideas. I mean, we're seeing charter schools pop up that will train for the Helix Flight Academy you learn to do airplanes. There's a pre-med school. Oxner's getting involved over on this end. There's a million different ideas on the educational front. Why couldn't that simply be one of them?
Well, and I'll tell you, going back to the high school redesign I'm talking about, I mean, if you really think about it, by the time a kid is like a freshman, maybe even a sophomore in high school, you have a pretty good feel whether they're destined for college, 2 years college, straight to the workforce, or you're worried about where they're going. And I think if we give them a taste of what that next step looks like, and yes, that means bringing law enforcement training, trainers and officers into those schools, show them that, hey, look, come in and get this training, get this expertise, and you can be, part of law enforcement in a good, stable career quickly. I think we show kids those pathways and let them really understand how easy and attainable it is. We can improve the pipeline from high school to career here in Louisiana.
I think if you'd asked me as a sophomore in high school where my career was headed, I was going to tell you I was playing first base for LSU, then going to the Mets. So,
and man, what a wonderful baseball career you had, Brian. I think it's a shame that they haven't retired your number yet. I got to tell you.
I'm sure somewhere.
Every time I go to Alex Box and I see Eddie Furness up there, I'm like, Eddie Furness?
No, we're the same
what
age.
What about Brian Halday, man?
You get to LSU and you see Eddie Furness is playing and you're like, yeah, maybe I wasn't that good.
Oh, man, you could rake. Don't play yourself short. You could rake back in the day.
Hey, we got about 2.5 minutes left, and I've got to go back to something that you mentioned because your verbiage caught me by surprise.
Yeah.
You said the extra money is not due to a booming economy, and we have to look at, and your words were, the 0.45-cent sales tax comes up for consideration was the verbiage you used. Not the 0.45-cent sales tax is about to roll off. Should we be sounding alarm bells right now?
No, I think everyone wants that to roll off. We have one of the highest combined state and local sales taxes in the country. It is it's not good policy, and everyone wants that to roll off. But we have to be honest. But yeah, because they haven't finished their spending bill right now. Yeah. The truth is, if they go in there and they spend like a bunch of drunken sailors over this session, and they create a ginormous hole at the same time the economy is shrinking, you bet every option is going to be on the table. But look, no one wants that to happen. I want that 0.45 to roll off. And I think if they're responsible this year, like I think they're going to do, and we can get an administration there that's going to focus on job creation, I don't think that's going to be a problem to let that roll off. I think that's going to make a lot of sense. But the next 2 years, we need this legislature and the next administration to come in and make smart decisions on how they're going to grow the economy. Coming out of COVID, we're the only southern state that's in the top 10 and going backwards on population loss and in economic loss. And so right now we have a shrinking population base and a shrinking economy. And look, I'm going to be real in this campaign. If we continue to shrink and our economy continues to shrink, look, we're going to be in a tough spot 2 years from now. We have to put a governor in place and a legislature in place that is going to focus on job creation, investing in our people and education that is smart reforms that gives them pathways to success. If we do that, you bet that 0.45 should roll off and there should be no need for it to stick around. But if we put a legislature and a governor in place who doesn't care about job creation, they care more about just, winning, playing politics and fighting on politics and not fixing problems, Lord knows where we're going to be 2 years from now. We can't afford to let politics get in the way of policy solutions in this state. We are going in reverse when other southern states are going forward. That must stop. We will never stop the brain drain if we don't get some solution-oriented leaders in place. And that's what we think we can be. And I think that if we do that, yes, we can grow the economy. Yes, we can continue to cut taxes and reduce that revenue piece. And I think we can do it responsibly pretty quickly.
80,000 people since 2020. That's the number that I read about in the Daily Report yesterday. 80,000 people gone from the state since 2020.
And think about the ripple effect of that. The number of young people that are going to go to other companies, other states, and start new companies and start their families there. And the grandkids that are going to be born elsewhere that are going to draw people like you and me, when our kids are older, to go to those states to do that. We have got to stop the population bleed in this state. And you can help through good schools, good jobs, safe communities. If we don't get serious on fixing those three things, the brain drain will continue. We'll continue to shrink. Our economy will continue to go in the wrong direction. And Louisiana will be in a bad shape. We deserve better. And our campaign's all about delivering on better.
He is Stephen Wagensback, running for governor. It's been too long, man. We got to get together more often.
I know. And look, you're more than a woman to me also, man. Don't forget that. When you play the BGs, don't forget it, okay?
He's jive talking this morning.
Anyone that wants to learn about our campaign, wagsforla.com. Please take a look at us. I think you'll like what you see.
Always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Take care.